ABC Radio Brisbane, my name's Rebecca Levingston. Dr. Carl is in the house. Hello, Dr. Carl.
Ahoy, Dr. Rebecca. Good morning.
I brought along a friend. It's my colleague. He is the producer of Drive and as well the producer of the Matters of State podcast. His name is Rob Mailer. Hello, Rob.
Hello, Beck. Hello, Dr. Carl.
Dr. Rob, you sound very important.
I am.
he's very important, Dr.
Yeah,
Carl, and
quite.
He has a very important question for you.
I do, Dr. Carl.
Big on important.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was speaking to Beck yesterday, and I'm bringing it to a real-life situation. Just say you're in a lift. It's a classic scene. You're in the lift, mm-hmm. And someone, maybe yourself, releases a little fart, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If I smell that fart, I inhale it through my nose and then exhale, and I did that repeatedly, will that eventually get rid of the smell within the lift? Just by, does smelling the smell dissipate or reduce the amount of smell in the space?
Yes, it does.
Yes.
And this is a very selfless act, and I admire you for it. And to explain it, let's go back to Richard Feynman, that genius. And he came up with one very clever sentence, and I'll give it to you now. Everything is made of atoms, comma, and then here comes the second part, which if they're too far apart, attract each other, and if they're too close together, repel each other. But let's just stick to the first part. Everything is made of atoms. So you're releasing some gas, and the amount of methane can vary by 10 million to 1. Men fart more frequently than women on a small sample size, and on this same small sample size, the fart gas of women is slightly more offensive on a scale from 1 to 10, but they fart less volume during the day, so it works out the same. Now, there are molecules in the air, some of them with wonderful names such as cadaverine, you know, the corpse, smell of a corpse and so forth. And these molecules, when they land on your nose, high up in your nose, on the olfactory epithelium, firstly, they send a signal saying, I'm smelling something, and two, they've been taken out of circulation. Those atoms, which then make up the molecules, those molecules are no longer in circulation. However, the volume of air you breathe per minute, on average, is 5 litres per minute. I can get up to 50 if I'm working really hard. So you should really start doing push-ups and stuff and jumping up and down and breathing really quickly. And so increase your volume from 5 litres a minute to 50, and in that way you'll remove the atoms and molecules 10 times more quickly.
Yeah, that's if you want to breathe in the flatulence, though, Dr. Carl, which I do not, Rob.
But if you...
What if, Dr. Carl, you held your breath in the lift where a person, I'm not saying it's you, Rob, no, but it might be, someone has passed wind. If you held your breath, does that mean the smell would stay in there?
Yes. It's still the molecules are still there. Now, you don't have to hold your breath to avoid smelling it. Merely breathe through your mouth, and only a very, very tiny amount will go up into your nose, and so the amount of offence you take at the smell will be much reduced.
And the same effect, though, through the mouth, same effect? It still dissipates the smell?
It will then be absorbed not upon the olfactory epithelium, yeah, but rather in the lining of your lungs and then go into your bloodstream, which is where it goes anyway in the long run. So it's come from inside one body and gone into another body in the bloodstream. It is not a toxic gas. I mean, it might smell toxic, but it won't kill you. It's sort of offensive.
So,
although, actually,
could it have any benefits? Could there be any upside?
I hope to find the upside, but I haven't got it right.
So, life lesson, if you get the lift and the door's open, there's someone inside hyperventilating, don't go in.
Then you should compliment them on their fine work in trying to make the world a better place. You should share it with them.
Thank you, Dr. Carl.
Thank you, Dr. Rob. Get out of the studio. Thank you. And so Tony texts us saying, oh, sure, Beck, I believe your flatulence question is from someone you work with. Yeah, it's true. It was Rob Mailer. You will find him on Drive with Steve Austin. You can also listen to his work on the Matters of State podcast. He's a very intelligent, kind man who's smart and also thinks about farts. And Dr. Carl, I'm afraid to say that there is another flatulence question that's come in. This is what happens, Dr. Carl, when we talk about this. It sets a theme. Why does chewing gum make you more gassy?
I didn't know that it did off the top of my head, but it goes like this. Mm-hmm. The gas that you fart out, the fart gas, is roughly one-third breathed in air and two-thirds gases that are generated inside your gut, usually at the beginning of the large intestine, as some of the several hundred different types of bacteria break down the food to get extra goodness, which they keep for themselves and also give to you. If you did not have these bacteria, you would be roughly two-thirds your weight, you would eat twice as much, and you'd be very sickly. Okay. These bacteria get food for them and for you. So the gas coming out is one-third from the breathing in and two-thirds from the gas being generated by these bacteria. And you breathe in more of this gas if you drink a glass of water. If you eat an apple or drink a glass of water, you're taking about 20 mils of air. And so in some cases, if you're getting embarrassed by farting and then you start to breathe faster, then you'll accidentally generate more fart gas because some of it, instead of going into the lungs, goes down the other pipe, the esophagus. So maybe the chewing gum, as you chew the gum, you're doing a lot of breathing and swallowing air into your esophagus, which then comes out the other end.
Well, that makes sense, the way that you explain it. And there's a good tip for life there. Don't panic if you're feeling gassy because you'll just make it worse. But to the person who shall remain nameless who's asked about the chewing gum and the flatulence, perhaps, Dr. Carl, they could carry around a clipboard with them and when they're chewing gum, just make little notes on it as to, you know, the frequency. And then that would be a slightly more scientific way to measure what's happening.
You've hit the nail on the head. Number one, the plural of anecdote is anecdotes, not data. And number two, the difference between science and just screwing around is that you write it down. So if you've got a clipboard and you write it down, well, then you're doing some science.
Beware of people holding clipboards in future. Just one final one on flatulence. Dave from Logan says, regarding farts in a lift, a lighter burns it up. What does a naked flame do to flatulence?
It combusts the methane. The amount of methane in the fart gas varies by a factor of 10 million to 1. So some people make huge amounts of methane and some do not. Methane is a so-called natural or fossil gas that's in the ground that you can burn in a gas pipe, and molecule for molecule is 100 times worse than carbon dioxide when it leaks. But there have been people who have been able to put a burning candle to their nether regions and then eject some gas and then have a flame front coming out a meter or so in length. People can do that. Some people can, but not everybody, because it varies from person to person, the amount of methane. Does it then get rid of the smell? Well, if the gas coming out, besides containing methane, has some of the smelly gases, well, they will get burnt and turned into something else, which may be more smelly or less, usually less smelly.